Our first scripture lesson tonight is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our sermon text tonight comes to us from the second chapter of Luke's gospel. I'll be reading the first 20 verses. Listen now for God's word to and for us. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their hometowns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, show us the word made flesh, good news of great joy for all, so that we sing with the angels, glory in the highest and peace on earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Up until this point in our journey through Advent, we've looked through the eyes of Zechariah, through the eyes of Joseph, through the eyes of Mary and of Elizabeth. And tonight, as we approach the manger, we stop first in the fields to look at Advent through the eyes of the shepherds. Even though the shepherds are part of every manger scene and every creche everywhere, the only place that we learn about the shepherds is this one place in the whole Bible, in the second chapter of Luke. And even though they are mentioned, we aren't told a whole lot about them. We don't know if they had families. We don't know how many there were. We don't know if they got along with each other. We don't know how old they are, and we aren't even told if all of them left the field to go in and to see the baby Jesus, while some of them stayed and watched the flock. We don't even know any of their names. But what we do know from Scripture is they were living in the fields in the region around Bethlehem. We know that they were watching over their flocks, and we know that the angel appeared to them in the deepest and the darkest point of the night, the fourth watch. That was the bleakest and most dangerous time on the hillsides. Not only did they have to protect their flocks from natural wildlife predators like coyotes and others, they also have to protect their flocks from human thieves. You know, to our 21st century ears, when we hear that the shepherds were part of the Christmas story, we may not bat an eyelash, because when we think of shepherds, we may tend to romanticize them. After all, remember David? He grew to be the greatest king in the history of Israel, and he started off as a shepherd boy. And remember, even our Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel, "I am the good shepherd." Even so, shepherds of the first century, for the most part, were anything but good, often shifty and dishonest characters. They would often graze their flocks on other people's land. Their lifestyles in the field would have prevented them from observing ritual Jewish laws of food preparation or purity. And because they dealt with animals and they dealt with blood, where the part of the field where they had stayed was provided the temple for all of the sacrifices during Passover, and that was a great number. So they dealt with blood, and they were considered to be unclean, and they weren't even allowed to go into the temple. They were often dirty, smelly, weather-beaten, and rough around the edges. Shepherds were more often than not shunned by proper folk, and they were sidelined by society. But God must have loved those shepherds a whole lot, because it was to those shepherds that God sent the angels to announce the greatest news ever in the history of the world, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Luke writes, "The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.'" Well, as soon as Gabriel's proclamation had been given, the heavenly hosts, or the angels, burst into song. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Just think about the very best performance that you've ever heard of the Messiah. And then it had to be 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times better than that. No wonder that the first thing that Gabriel said to them was, "Do not be afraid." Who wouldn't be afraid witnessing something so different than they had ever experienced before. But no matter how frightening it must have been, the shepherds had been given a gift. They were the first ones to hear the good news of Jesus' birth. After the angels left them, the shepherds travel to Bethlehem and find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Perhaps you've noticed by now, if you have been worshiping with us for the last few weeks, that God often appears to the least likely suspects. Just think of all the theophanies that appear in the Advent story alone. Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, and Zechariah and Elizabeth are given a child in their old age that had been the desire of their heart, that they prayed for their whole lives long, and that child was none other than John the Baptist, the cousin to Jesus. And Gabriel visits Mary. Mary is a poor, unwed girl from a no-account town. She was probably anywhere from 13 to 15 years old. She had no status, no standing. And Mary said yes to Gabriel's invitation to carry and to give birth to God's Son, the Savior of the world. The shepherds also said yes to God in their very own way. After receiving the gift of Gabriel's news, they went to the manger and they became the first eyewitnesses to Jesus' birth. They also were the first to proclaim the good news, that is, to share what they had seen and what they had heard about this very special child. Luke reports that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. The song "Go Tell It on the Mountain" comes to mind, and it captures the heart of what the shepherds did. The shepherds received the gift of the news and the gift of the ability to be the very first ones to see the Christ child. And often, as happens when we are given a gift, we are also asked to pass that gift along. They were given a task of proclaiming. And the gift and the task, the same gift and task is given to each one of us. It's a bit intimidating, isn't it? What if we aren't good about faith sharing? What if we'd rather have a root canal than tell someone about our relationship with the Lord and how much it means with us? After all, what if we don't get it right? Now, if we didn't feel just a little bit inadequate in the presence of God and being a spokesperson for God, we just plain wouldn't be paying attention so much. So that's a very normal and human reaction. But if we take the story of the shepherds to heart, it seems that God can do just about anything through a willing spirit. We know that the news of Jesus' birth spread throughout the whole Roman Empire. We know that it finally reached the ears of Herod. Today there are shepherds among us too. The shepherds among us don't need to have any special family connections or special education or social standing. They might be able to preach, and they might not be able to preach. Moses is a good example. When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of the slavery of Egypt, he didn't want any part of it. He said, "Oh no, I'm slow of speech. Don't choose me, choose somebody else." But God had a backup plan, and Aaron became Moses' mouthpiece and spokesperson. A wise person, and you all have heard this many times before, but it's so true. A wise person once said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." What is most important about being a shepherd is caring for others. Shepherds demonstrate care, or in other words, they make the love of God real and tangible. Trinity Church is full of shepherds who do just that by welcoming people at the door, welcoming new members, by singing in the choir that proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ in song. by coming to church at 6 a.m. on Saturday mornings to cook and then serve the homeless a hot and a delicious breakfast, by supporting Skycrest Elementary and the Close to Kids program, and by filling the manna box so that the hungry can eat, by serving as deacons and elders. Good shepherds defend and they protect. A good shepherd puts the well-being of the sheep first. In John 10, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. If you want to know what a good shepherd is, look at Jesus, who was love and is love incarnate. Jesus wants to work through each and every one of us to demonstrate that love, that acceptance, and that help. For all the achievements of our lives, for the impact that we might or might not have on the world, none of us could have so high a purpose in life as just one of those shepherds. Nowhere in the Bible are they given names, but it's just as well. The shepherds, you see, share the good news of the birth of the Savior with anyone that they can by making God's love incarnate. And that can just be every man and every woman, every one of us. It takes no special credentials to serve the Lord the way they did. No higher education or no letters before or after your name. Like shepherds, you and I have experienced Christmas and have had the chance to do nothing, and now have the chance to do nothing less than to change the world through God's love. All that is required is a willingness to go and tell what you have heard and what you have seen. Sometimes that means using words, but more often than not, it's more effective when we demonstrate a loving concern for another person. Each of us this Christmas has come to the manger. We have heard the story and we know the truth. Now it's our turn, each in our own ways, to share the love that we have experienced. And that's something we all can do. Thank God for the indescribable gift of Jesus, our Savior. And thank God for the opportunity to share and incarnate God's love. Amen. All are invited immediately following the worship service to join us for a time of fellowship and refreshment in the fellowship hall this way. Now receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen.